Good, thanks. Good morning. I'd like to call to order the meeting and ask the secretary to call the roll.
Here.
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 Thank you. First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda, and I would like to move the agenda with one change. I would like to add approval of the Writers Advisory Council appointments to my report. So I'd like to move the agenda with that addition. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for January 24th, 2019 board meeting, January 24th, 2019 executive session, February 14th, 2019 executive session, February 20th, 2019 executive session, and February 22nd, 2019 executive session. So I'd like to move the approval of these minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the employee spotlight. Mr. Wiedefeld.
Good morning. For this month's employee spotlight, we recognize Metro bus operator Kevin Jones. Mr. Jones could stand. Earlier this month, Mr. Jones was operating a red line shuttle bus when he observed a vehicle accident. Mr. Jones quickly and safely secured the shuttle bus while asking his passengers to call 911. Once the bus was secured, Mr. Jones ran to the scene to help two individuals who were stuck inside an overturned SUV. He helped them exit the vehicle by holding the door open, extending his arm, and pulling each of them out. When Mr. Jones returned to the bus, his passengers thanked and congratulated him for his quick response. Mr. Jones displays Metro's commitment to the community as a whole and not just his own passengers. Today, we thank Mr. Jones for his heroic actions he displayed while coming to the aid of others. Please join us up front, please.
Next item on our agenda is the public comment section. So our first individual is Jeff Egan. Mr. Egan. Is he here?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
I'm not Jeff Egan, but I am here with Jeff Egan. My name is Jennifer Eckel. I'm a longtime Metro writer and Alexandria City citizen. I'm here today representing Metro IAF, a network of more than 225 religious congregations and citizens institutions. We appreciate and recognize that Metro brings people together. Metro and our organizations cross boundaries, rubbing elbows with people of all ages, races, and incomes. Metro opens opportunities with jobs, education, culture, from one side of our region to the other. But we recognize that Metro has not lived up to its potential and has often been penny-wise, pound-foolish, and reactive. This is in large part because Metro has lacked citizens organizing across regional lines, holding you accountable. We at Metro IAF are here and organized now to call on WMATA to live up to its potential to create opportunity and equity in the region. We are the largest citizens force that pushed for dedicated funding, organizing thousands of people and dozens of actions in D.C., Maryland, Northern Virginia, and in Richmond. We demanded that our local officials act to fund Metro. When the federal city council aligned with a Virginia Congress member trying to turn Metro over to a federal control board and make service cuts, we said no. We are standing here today with the men and women at the ATU who move this region, who deserve middle class life and retirement. We say no to privatization. Today, we call on Metro to unlock its land around Metro stops and facilities, creating opportunity.
Okay, thank you very much for your comment. Okay, next individual is Reverend Mally Moore, if I have that pronounced right. I can't actually read the writing. Yeah, welcome to the Metro Board. Good morning.
Good morning, Board. My name is Jeff Egan. I'm standing in before the...
Wait a minute, you're the wrong speaker. Wait, hold on. Yes. This is the second wrong speaker in a row. Why is the wrong speaker coming up? Okay. So who are the four speakers? We don't have, do we have your names on the sheet or not?
Yes.
Ms. Reverend Moore. Okay. And then who are the other ones? Go ahead. All right. You got Matt. All right. Go ahead. 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. I'm Jeff Egan from Action in Montgomery. We are a coalition of more than 30 congregations, schools, and community organizations in Montgomery County. We are fighting for equity in our county, equity in education, equity in immigrant rights, and in particularly equity in housing and in transportation. And we're here today to specifically request that WMATA stops the sale and lease of land, particularly the land adjacent to the Glenmont Metro Station, until our organizations have had a chance, together with our elected officials, to meet with WMATA representatives to discuss how we can prioritize the development of affordable housing on this land. In Montgomery County, besides Glenmont, we're looking at Shady Grove. We're looking at other parcels that will be coming up. Some of these are some of the most desirable and important pieces of real estate undeveloped left in Montgomery County. Our organizations have worked hard for affordable housing. Action in Montgomery has led to the development of more than $750 million in affordable housing in Montgomery County in the last 15 years. We ask for the opportunity for our representatives, including our elected representatives. We just met with our new county executive, Mark Elrich, Tuesday, and he has agreed to reach out with us as well as our council members to meet with you to discuss this important issue. I have been a 25-year user of your services, both bus and transit, and I know, like they say in the commercial, don't leave home without your car, right? And this card is very important to me. I would like to see other folks, low-income and moderate folks in Montgomery County, have access to affordable housing that is transit accessible.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comment. Absolutely.
Question?
Yes, Mr. Goldman.
Sir, have you spoken with Councilman Andrew Friedson as yet?
Yes, we have, and he is very supportive of this. And I would really look forward to what I think would be a very constructive meeting where some of our elected representatives and our organizations from all these jurisdictions can come together with you. And let's plan together to see that these parcels are distributed in a way that we can see them with access for low and moderate income families so that they can get access to transit services.
Thank you. I didn't mean to give you an extra 2 minutes. I just want to encourage you to talk to Councilman Friedson because he's very interested in this issue as well. And he's planning to speak with WMATA staff about the very issue you're raising.
Well,
affordable
housing
on the
thanks for that alert.
Park.
And so there are other members of our government as well that would very much like to participate and meet with you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Who's next? Reverend,
welcome. Reverend John Molina Moore, Northminster Presbyterian Church on Alaska Avenue in D.C. I'm also here to represent Wynn and to be the united voice of three different areas who are here for a voice for affordable housing on land that WMATA is going to sell and going to use. The parcel that is on 7100 Chestnut Street is less than half a mile from the congregation that I serve. And our congregation is in a neighborhood where there are plenty of people who grew up in the neighborhood who are now moving out and cannot afford to be there, but are relying on Metro to get to and from school, work, and finding resources in our community because there is a large need. So we would hope that the sale of this property could be something that would diversify who is living in these neighborhoods of people who can have access to Metro. We have partnered with many women and children who are experiencing homelessness in our neighborhood and tried to find a place for them to have emergency sheltering in the winter. All of them rely on transportation provided by Metro to get to and from their house, their place of work, their schools, and places that they can get resources. So we are here with this letter toward the board from Wynn, Washington Interfaith Network, that is signed by many clergy that are represented in this organization. And I would like to be able to deliver this to the appropriate person, but I don't know how that would
be. Right here.
Be.
Oh, John, okay. Right.
Is it, are we coming up to deliver here?
Thank you.
So once again, we are a voice that is hoping to lift up the need for affordable housing that Metro can be accessible to everyone, not just those who make over $100,000 a year, but many of its riders who need places that are close to stations like the one here in Pitchcomb. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Good morning. Hi.
Hi. My name is Pat Pendicolo, and I'm a member of the Unitarian Church in Arlington. We're a voice congregation. Voice is a collection of 50 member institutions in Northern Virginia. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary, and we now have 200,000 households connected to our institutions. We're here demanding that the potential redevelopment sites in Northern Virginia, like Braddock Road, Falls Church, and the upcoming new developments along the Silver Line, require 30% of the development be affordable housing. In Arlington and Alexandria, over 90% of the market rate affordable units have been lost since the year 2000. That's over 400,000 households. 40,000 households. 40,000 families have been forced out because they couldn't afford to live in Northern Virginia. This demand and getting commitments on this demand is nothing new to Voice. Over the last 2 years, Voice has been pushing officials and getting commitments on using public land, including WMATA land, for affordable housing. But the housing crisis isn't found in a vacuum. We know that for the region to thrive, we need large employers like yourselves to pay living wages and for our public transit system to work for everyone, not just wealthy white-collar workers. In the last 2 years, Voice brought together more than 5,000 people to public actions where we got commitments from elected officials like Governor Northam, Chair Bulova, Mayor Wilson, and Chair Crystal around dedicated funding for Metro. Mr. Dorsey, we know you're committed to work with us to bring together power players, look at WMATA land for affordable housing. And I'm here to ask you if you're still willing to do that.
Well, we don't answer questions here, but thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you.
I don't know what else to say. This is the way it is. Amy, you got anybody else over there? Amy, you got anybody else? All right. All right. I have another name on here, Cynthia Marshall. I don't know if that's anybody's name. Is that anybody who it was under your list of people? All right. Good. All right. We'll move on. Yes. Okay. So Don Baker. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, WMATA Board. My name is Dion Baker, and I'm a member of ATU Local 689. Right, close. Can you hear me? Okay. Every day it becomes clear that the board is allowing the general manager to run riders away from the system. The latest tactic is accelerating privatization at Cinder Bay Bus Garage in Lorton and the phase two of the Silver Line. The Cinder Bay business model is unsustainable because the steps private managers take to increase their profits always diminish the quality of service and the value of the facilities and vehicles. In Washington, D.C., we have witnessed failed management over and over by some of the largest private contracting firms in the transportation business, including First Transit. Those who rode the circulator while First Transit managed it witnessed the deterioration firsthand. A fixed price contractor will do everything possible to keep from paying its workers and repairing the vehicles and facilities which house them so they can keep those profits to themselves. First Transit deliberately avoided maintenance and service on circulator, keeping thousands, if not millions of dollars to themselves instead of performing maintenance and service to riders. The Cinder Bay Road contract is an unwise, costly endeavor. The Silver Line is worse because whichever contract is selected, Local 689 collective bargaining agreement will cover them, meaning that even the imaginary savings at Cinder Bay Road are available on the Silver Line extension. WMATA board, you need to get real. All employees that service WMATA does equal pay for equal work. The more you fight this, the more costly it will be for taxpayers who will have to foot the bill for lawsuits that you will lose.
Thank you very much. Next, we'll have Michael, Michael Syndrome. You see Michael?
There it is.
Welcome to the board meeting, Mr. Sim.
Morning, Mr. Evans, Chair, Directors. Syndrome, the veteran served our country more than most. As hobbling the podium, writhing in pain, no reason why I cannot appear for public comment via phone. None. So why does the mean-spirited shut me down? Submitted some documents to you, Mr. Evans, at the oversight, the council. You assured me I'd get a written response. I have received absolutely nothing. This is not good. We need term limits. The block on my phone, there ought not be any conditions. In fact, I had occasion to call to find out about the time for this meeting. Normally it's 11. It was changed to 10. If I can't connect, Mr. Wedefeld, with your office, with WMATA, to find out the information about the time is, how can I appear? Again, you've made mention offline about some letter you want me to sign, lift the block. That ought not be. I've not raised my hand to anybody. I've not threatened anybody. I've not cursed anybody. And I'm not running a popularity contest. Okay? Because someone doesn't like me doesn't mean my right via phone to connect and ask when the time of the board meeting is should be a block. This is crazy. This is madness. This is typical of the nonsensical, ineffective, inefficient WMATA board. You're the governing body. Do something. I come in and meeting out. Get this right. Is there a block on your phone, sir? How about you? Or you, Mr. Evans? You, ma'am? You? No. Why should there be a block on my phone? That's discrimination. That violates the Human Rights Act, D.C. of 1977. Let's get it real. Last but not least, you've got my money. It's theft by any other name. NSIC, the CFO, knows about it. Okay, and I've asked repeatedly, I want my money. You all do. You want to charge criminal fare evasion, and you've got thousands of dollars of mine on account which are not being turned over. I've made mention that to you, Mr. Evans, more than once. We need term limits. I mean, what gives? Come on. And I'm still awaiting your written responds to what you promised.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Senator. Our next individual is Rico Dancy. Welcome to the Metro Board. You know, if you could talk into the mic, yeah, you get to the mic. Yeah, that'd be good. However this works. Good.
So 80% of the disabled 80% of the disabled people ride bus or metro transit. So what we're wondering about is why is there not an option for the monthly pass? So VRI as well, why they do not have, why is there not a VRI service for the police department? That's a safety issue. And that issue for the deaf community. It includes many different disabilities, the deaf blind, deaf people, and it's not equal, it's not fair. It's not fair access for us. And when we see that the DC police have the VRI for the deaf community, why is that not here? Why is it not set up today, that VRI option? It's like the police are pushing deaf people away, being sent away, and that's not okay. And how we can continue to fight for access. We must have access. The ADA requires that. And I sometimes see the police laughing at deaf people. And that's not okay. They use the terminology deaf and dumb, which is not okay as well. And I honestly hate that. So we continue to fight, and we will continue. I will continue to stand. I will continue to fight for equal rights, for equal access, and for every equal rights for all disabled people. And so one thing I want to mention, the VRI that I mentioned before, is the video relay. It's the video remote interpreters. So it's usable on iPads. So that, and we will continue to fight for equality and continue to have that fight for fair for everyone who has a disability. Period. Not just those who are hearing, deaf equality. And that is what we want, and that's what we will continue to fight for. Thank you.
Mr. Dancy, thank you very much for coming down, and we appreciate your comments. Okay, that's everybody I have on the list, so we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is a report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee. Mr. Posner. Good morning, Mr. Sheehan.
Good morning. Pat Sheehan, giving a report from the AAC. It's good to be back. My vice chair is not, my chair is not available, and vice chair is not available, so you're stuck with me.
There you go.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
It's good to be here. Thank you. So the remarks that I'll make are largely going to be repeated from the testimony that eight members of the AAC gave when we attended the public hearings. And we appreciate the attendance at those hearings. First and foremost, looking at the on the rail, we do applaud the increase in the eight-car trains. That those will be extended through rush hour. We understand that there is a proposal to move that the increased fare for those trains not be put into place, and we do applaud that. We would note that if the increase, the rush hour fare was extended to those trains during the extended period, that would increase the fares for Metro Access, and that's something that would be a hardship for a lot of people with disabilities. Secondly, with respect to rail fares, we understand on the weekends that a $2 fare is being proposed, and we would like to see the $4 fixed fare be extended on the weekends to Metro Access. We're thinking that redoing the fare calculator to accommodate the differences in the fares for a weekend rate would be really time consuming and overly expensive. So we think that we're asking for that, and hope that that will be approved. On the rail cars, we understand that bicycles are allowed on rail cars now, and we would hope that they would be allowed to be put in either the first or the last cars. You have a lot of wheelchairs, people with disabilities. Having the bikes in the center cars is going to be a hazard for folks, particularly if we have to when leaving those cars or if there's any kind of an emergency. Also, with respect to the rail car system, a big thank you. I understand that the lighting project is going forward. We are very pleased with that, and that'll be a big benefit to people with disabilities, low vision folks particularly, but also for the public in general. Moving on to the bus system, we have encouraged and continue to encourage to have a robust bus system, not just to feed into the Metrorail system, but to move throughout the jurisdictions. Particularly, we see a lot of ask within Fairfax and in Virginia. We would ask that the results of the bus transformation study be communicated either to our AAC or Bus Rail Committee. We would like to be able to take a look at those and make sure that that we're agreeing with them. We have some people that have worked on the committee, but have not received a final a report on that. And so we're, as always, looking forward to a robust bus system as best as we can have. And lastly, I want to talk about Metro Access. We are giving input, of course, into the cars as the new vehicles as they're being purchased. We understand that I think it's 175 sedans are being purchased for the Metro Access system. The AAC is being consulted with respect to that. We would expect it to continue to be consulted. We're pleased that the sedans are going to be added to the fleet. We think they'll make a big difference. Also, I'd also like to say, with respect to a program off the Metro Access, which is the Abilities Ride program, we understand that that is looking to be expanded within D.C. and Virginia. That has been a very good program over time. It has we've seen increased ridership within that program. We understand last year that it did make financial success and financial sense within Montgomery and Prince George's County. So your support of those programs, we appreciate that a lot. And we think the increased ridership and the increased choice is a good thing for WMATA. So that is my report for today. We appreciate the support that we have been getting from the board. Any questions for me?
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan. Any questions for Mr. Sheehan? Seeing none. Thank you,
quick
Mr.
One,
Sheehan,
Mr.
for your
Evans.
Report.
Thank
Mr.
you very much.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Didn't see it? Oh, you didn't. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sheehan.
Thank you.
Our next report is by Mr. Dorsey, the report by the Riders Advisory Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a written report included in our board materials, but the bulk of the RAC meeting on February 6th was spent discussing bus operations and specifically included a presentation on the bus transformation project. The RAC did signal an interest in being included as a stakeholder group in that project's activities. So I forward that recommendation or that suggestion on to the general manager since we, of course, have no role in that. And then their discussion thereafter really included a lot of conversation about some of the deficiencies in the existing bus operational network, not only things that WMATA can control, but also what other jurisdictions can contribute to in easing bus congestion throughout the region. There were a number of ideas, many of which we've heard and discussed before, but that are focused on having WMATA really play a central role in figuring out how to bring jurisdictions to the table to implement some of the tools that we all know that could perhaps speed our buses through the region. Any questions?
Questions for Mr. Dorsey?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dorsey. Okay, the next item on the agenda is report by the chair. We have one administrative item in my report today. We would like to appoint two people to the Riders Advisory Council to address vacancies resulting from member resignations. One position is for a Virginia seat and one is for an at-large seat. Therefore, I move approval of the following RAC appointments. Robert Cavesi to an at-large seat, whose term will expire in December of 2019, and Andrew Keurig, representing Virginia, whose term will expire in December of 2020. I'd like to move these two nominations. Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Finally, I would like to thank everyone who participated in the public participation process regarding the FY 2020 budget. We appreciate your feedback, and we'll be briefed on it in the budget work session immediately following this board meeting. The board is scheduled to formally take up the budget for a vote next month. That concludes my report. I will now turn the floor over to the general manager for his report.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. Briefly, I'll make some comments on our top three priorities: safety, service reliability, and fiscal management. On the safety side, I want to take a moment to highlight our newly enhanced roadway worker protection program, which is now fully underway after launching late last year. A new advanced mobile flagger program is now used that provides a lookout to warn rail operators about roadway workers on the track ahead. We're also piloting bidirectional technology to create a redundant protections for wayside workers and to comply with NTSB recommendations. And this spring, we expect to receive the first of our new helmets that are designed to help reduce the risk of traumatic head injuries. These are important behind-the-scenes improvements that may not always be visible to our customers, but are vitally important to the continued safety of our employees. In the area of service, as you know, we kicked off 2019 by strengthening the rush hour promise to demonstrate to riders how reliability has improved. Customers using the registered smart trip cards now receive a trip credit whenever they are delayed more than 10 minutes, down from 15 minutes last year. Since that change went to effect, we've issued about 91,000 credits, which accounts for just 0.6% of all trips taken during the morning and afternoon rush. Another way to think of it is that 99.4% were not eligible because we are delivering on our commitment. During that same period, more than 91% of all rush hour trips have arrived on time. Importantly, we've also found that if someone does receive your credit, they come back and use it again. So historically, when we had issues, people would not come back for months. So that is all a good sign. In the finance side, as you know, at the conclusion of this board meeting, we'll convene next door for I believe it's our third budget workshop. But in addition, I wanted the board to be aware that I continue to work throughout the region. Over the past few weeks, I've testified and presented on Metro's proposed budget at various hearings and meetings around the region. Earlier this month, Chairman Evans convened the D.C. Council's Committee on Finance and Revenues for Metro's annual budget and performance oversight hearing. On Monday, I was in Annapolis testifying before the Maryland House Transportation Environmental Subcommittee, and I'll be back in Annapolis next week to testify before the State Senate Public Safety Transportation Environmental Committee. I also met with state legislators and the Transportation Secretary Valentine in Richmond last month to share an update on Metro, including the budget. And lastly, I look forward to attending the North Virginia Transportation Commission's March meeting next week, where I plan to share a brief overview of the proposed budget with the commission as well. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Wiedenfeld. Any questions for the general manager? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Mr. Wiedenfeld. Our next item on the agenda is a report by the Safety and Operations Committee. Mr. Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee approved the continuation of Metro's current hours of service and supplemental bus service until July 1st, 2020. This is in order to allow Metro to continue its safe and state of good repair projects. Metro will revert to its previous longer service hours on July 1st, 2020, absent any further action by this board. The resolution also directs the general manager to explore and develop partnerships with transportation networks companies for late night hours. Mr. Chairman, I move for approval.
Second. Okay, a motion's been made for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
The vote is 7-1. The ayes have it. Our next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. And we have one item on the board's consent agenda today.
I'd like to
move approval. Somebody say something?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to pull this for a minor amendment.
Sure. You want to make an amendment or you want to pull it?
Well, we have to pull it in order to be able to make an amendment, right? No, we don't? All right, very good.
You can make an amendment.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, we have one item on the board's consent agenda. I'd like to move approval of the following Local 922 collective bargaining agreement. Staff requests approval of the negotiated collective bargaining agreement with Local 922 of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters and to authorize the general manager to execute the CBA. This agreement with Local 922 brings closer parity with the agreement between Metro and Local ATU. Local 689. So I'd move approval. Can I get a second?
Second.
It's my understanding one of my colleagues, i.e. Mr. Dorsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
May have an amendment.
Just like to offer an amendment and apologize. This will be easy to go through very quickly. In the fourth whereas clause, this amendment would change the date by which funding from the jurisdictions is due. It would change it from June 30th, 2019 to July 2nd. 2019. This is consistent with other actions that we have done in the past in order to make it possible for the contributions to align with jurisdictions' fiscal years. So, fourth whereas clause, instead of June 30th, 2019, it would be July 2nd, 2019.
Okay, a motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. All right, the bill with the amended, as amended, is before us. Any discussion on the bill as amended? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, reports by the jurisdictions, the District of Columbia. We have no report today. WSTC, Mr. Crawford.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to report that on Monday I went on a ride-along with Ms. Rush from the AAC. And we were on the P-12 bus and then the county's bus 20. It was very eye-opening. I really appreciate her taking me out. It was a little chilly on Monday, but it was well worth it. I also want to take this time to commend the bus drivers. The bus drivers assisting us on and off the bus were excellent. We even had, in one case, customers that helped us. The thing I'll mention to the general manager, in addition to the professionalism of the bus drivers, the buses arrived on time. So we appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. NVTC, Mr. Smedberg.
No report, Mr. Chair.
And finally, the federal government, Mr. Horner.
No.
Okay, thank you all. We will adjourn this and go to the Finance Committee in the next room. So with that, the meeting's adjourned.